بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلام فضل الشيخ الرومي وقت تبريز الزمانة هذا الشيخ حكيم محمد اختصاف نور الله وكذب. التايتل اف نظم اس مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے، 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 غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے، غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے، بحر الفت کا کنارا چاہیے، بحر الفت کا کنارا چاہیے، سر ہمارا در تمہارا چاہیے، مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے، غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے، غم میں بس ان کو پکارا چاہیے، غم میں بس ان کو پکارا چاہیے، ان کے ہوتے کیا سہارا چاہیے، ان کے ہوتے کیا سہارا چاہیے، لذت فریاد طوفانوں میں ہے، لذت فریاد طوفانوں میں ہے، کون کہتا ہے کنارا چاہیے، کون کہتا ہے کنارا چاہیے، اور حاصل ساحل مجھے تو فام ہے، حاصل ساحل مجھے تو فام ہے، کون کہتا ہے کنارا چاہیے، حاصل ساحل مجھے تو فام ہے، تیرے جلووں کا نظارہ چاہیے، تیرے جلووں کا نظارہ چاہیے، اپنی آہوں سے درے جانا پہ میر، اپنی آہوں سے درے جانا پہ میر، اپنی بگڑی کو سوارا چاہیے، اپنی بگڑی کو سوارا چاہیے، اور آپ پر ہر دم فدا ہو میری جان، آپ پر ہر دم فدا ہو میری جان، آپ پر ہر دم فدا ہو میری جان، غیر کی مجھ کو نہ پرواہ چاہیے، غیر کی مجھ کو نہ پرواہ چاہیے، دست بکشا جانی بے زنبیل ماں، دست بکشا جانی بے زنبیل ماں، میرے سر کو تیرا سودا چاہیے، میرے سر کو تیرا سودا چاہیے، اختر خس تاؤ دور افتادہ کو، اخترے خستا و دور افتادہ کو ان کی رحمت کا بلاوا چاہیے, ان کی رحمت کا بلاوا چاہیے, غم میں بس ان کو پکارا چاہیے, ان کے ہوتے کیا سہارا چاہیے, حاصل ایسا ہل مجھے طوفاں میں ہے, کون کہتا ہے کنارا چاہیے, مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے, غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, الحمدللہ وکفا والسلام علی عباد الذین اصطفى, اما بعد, this beautiful bayan of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Waqt Tabrizi Zamana Mujaddid Zamana, Hazrat is teaching us that in this path towards Allah Rabbul Izzat, what is our support and what we should be begging for from Allah Rabbul Izzat. Very beautifully Hazrat has titled this bayan, Mujhko Jeene Ka Sahara Chahiye, that oh Allah, I need a support of life. Each one of us, we all want support of life, but unfortunately, what is the real support? We are not begging for it. Person thinks, if I pass my exams and I get my degree, now I'll be supported by that degree. Person thinks, if I get this business, now I'll be okay. Person thinks, that position if I get, that will be support of my life. All those things can never ever support us. The only support that we can have is, and that is why Allah Ta'ala has brought us here to learn that who should be and what should be our real support. Hazrat says, Ya Musku Jeene Ka Sahara Chahiye, Kham Tumhara Dil Hamara Chahiye, that oh Allah, I want a support of life. And what is the real support of life? That oh Allah, the pain of my heart should be your pain. In other words, how can I please you all the time? And من كان الله له كان الله له, من كان لله كان الله له. Whoever becomes Allah, Allah becomes his. And then Allah Rabbul Izzah takes care of all his affairs, all his matters. So this is one pain, and this is one the pain that a person gets in the heart, which is an enjoyable pain. This is not a pain that gives a person grief. And Hazrat is saying that I want this pain, and where must this pain be? In the depths of my heart. That I really get connected to you, Allah Ta'ala, all the time. And as Nabi Akram Sallallahu Ta'ala Islam has taught us, that if you just build one fear in your heart, and the fear of Allah is not the fear of a tyrant, ruler or anybody. The fear of Allah is the fear of love. That my Allah is so loving, He's so kind. He gives me my food, my oxygen, everything. We can't even fathom one ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah's fear comes in the heart, Allah ta'ala takes away all the other fears. And if you don't bring Allah's fear in the heart, today so many people got all different fears. And that is why shaitan, our arch enemy, shaitan yaidukumul faqra, he makes you scared of poverty. Then he puts you into those sins that will bring poverty. He scares you of poverty, and now he makes you take out insurance policy, this policy, that policy, all those things that will bring poverty in your life. Allah ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. Allah Ta'ala says, you turn to Allah, bring the pain of the love of Allah in your heart. Not only Allah Ta'ala will support you, Allah will forgive you. And Allah will give you fadl, great, great blessings all the time. Hazrat further teaches us, Bahri ulfat ka kinara chahiye, Sar hamara dar tumhara chahiye, that in this part of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, I'm looking for the ocean, for the shores of the ocean of love. If I want to be on any shore, it's not any island. That shore where your love, that ocean of your love is, I want that shore there, oh Allah. And at that shore, what should I be doing there? That my head should be at your threshold. In other words, in your obedience all the time. I learn how to be at your obedience all the time. Hazrat Parda teaches us that humme bas unka pukara chahiye. Unke hote kya sahara chahiye. Now when you have bulldust contact with Allah Rabbul Izzat, then realize any problem, the slightest grief that comes to you, you just call to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Any time, any moment, anywhere, you call out to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And as our Hazrat teaches us, you dumb also. Allah knows the call of the heart. And you just turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Hazrat is saying, unke hote kya sahara chahiye. When Allah is with you, what other support you want? And Allah is that only support that is all the time with us. No other support can be with us. Middle of the night you have a problem, now you have to wait till the morning. Allah Ta'ala's support is with you all the time, 24/7. But we have to build a ta'alluq. We have to come here to learn how to build a connection with Allah Rabbul Izzat. And beg Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, Allahumma kullana waj'alna lak. That, oh Allah, make us yours. You become ours. That all the time, the first thing we turn to Allah. Not today we put the cart before the horse. We first try and use all the asbab which Allah made available. And then when we see nothing happens, then we say Allah Ta'ala achhe. Then we want to turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. No, the first and all the time, turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And as Hazrat teaches us, when you turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then see whatever halat comes upon a person. Outwardly it might look like the most difficult halat conditions, but that person is in a different enjoyment. Lazzati faryad tufano mein hai. Kaun kehta hai kinara chahiye? That Hazrat says, now when it seems like the outward storms have gathered you, now someone is sick in the family, you have to pay this account, you have some problem whatsoever. Hazrat says, in that outward storm, that is the time I enjoy turning to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is actually Allah Ta'ala wants you to turn to Him. And especially the pious servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, outwardly it looks like they're in some condition, but Allah Ta'ala wants to enjoy their cry and their turning to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Hazrat says, who said that you need the shore and everything must be sailing smooth? Then only you'll get enjoyment in the ibadat of Allah. No, the real enjoyment is now when you really have problems and you build your contact and you beg from Allah Ta'ala, but that contact must carry on. Not after Allah Ta'ala removes it, then we also forget about Allah. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, we know what a test Allah Ta'ala put him through. And Allah Ta'ala put him through such a sickness we can't imagine. And for years, when Allah Ta'ala gave him complete shifa again, restored his health, gave him again wealth, etc., then people said, oh Ayyub alayhi salam, now you must be in ease and comfort. Now you must be in an enjoyable condition. He says, no, that condition of mine was better. They ask him, what you mean? You were going through such a difficult condition. He says, in that condition, every morning I used to hear my Allah asking me, oh my Ayyub, how are you feeling today? And just that sound of Allah Ta'ala, that connection with Allah, I used to forget all my pain and everything. In the evening, the same thing. So 24 hours in the enjoyment of talking to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Allah Ta'ala turns to such people with kindness. حاصل سائل مجھے طوفانوں میں ہے تیرے جلووں کا نظارہ چاہیے. Hazrat says that I have achieved and I found that I was on the shore, sea shore, when I was in the midst of the storm. Outwardly it looked like I was in the storm, but at that time I was enjoying my life. And we see this really, Hazrat, when Hazrat went through that period of a stroke, etc., people used to come visit Hazrat. They say, we used to get more consolation than thinking we come into Hazrat, Hazrat is a sick man. Nobody could ever really notice that this was a sick man. And how Hazrat used to build the spirits of everybody else. So Hazrat says, Tere tajalwa ka nazara chahe. This is the jalwa of Allah. Allah's special focus, oh Allah, I want to see that special focus of yours. This comes when we beg Allah Ta'ala, we turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A person makes his zikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat regularly, then halat will come. Allah has made this world such that conditions will come, but you won't get lost in the halat. You won't fall into depression and you won't get worried. You will know Allah Ta'ala will definitely sort my problem out. We have to keep on begging from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And how we see the pious servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We just make one, two du'as and we expect, no, my problem must be over. Far from that, the friends of Allah Rabbul Izzat begging for days and days and days. Because Allah loves, like how that mother plays with the child. The child is begging round the mother is enjoying how the child is crying. Allah enjoys the crying of His lovers much, much more than that. So Allah Ta'ala gives us time, and thus Allah is forgiving our sins, raising our status, etc. And then Hazrat explains that how to build your contact with Allah Rabbul Izzat. Apni aho se dare jana pe meer, apni bigri ku sawara chahiye. That, oh Mir, Hazrat is addressing most probably Mir Sahib, but all of us in reality, that, oh sir, take a lesson that if you want to get this connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then take out those deep sighs of regret. That, when you make out your zikr also, Allah, oh Allah, you gave me my life and I'm spending it somewhere else and I'm spending it in your disobedience. A person regrets about that, that is tawbah. When you turn and make tawbah to Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah's rahmat comes pouring upon you. And this is how all your past life that you spoiled, this is how you can make that life now beautiful. Because Allah won't just forgive you, Allah will change your bad into good. Allah, that is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's kindness. So never ever shaitan fools us. He first gets us involved in sin, and then when you want to make tawbah, he says you don't feel ashamed that you still want to turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. No, we have to beg and turn to Allah Ta'ala under all conditions. And we see Allah Ta'ala, Allah is so kareem. Allah Ta'ala is just waiting. Any servant that has caused what harm to him, to himself by disobeying Allah, you just beg Allah Ta'ala sincerely. Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, as Hazrat explained so beautifully, behind every saint and many saints, there's a history. If you look at their previous life, Allahu Akbar, and what Allah made them. They now became the means of others becoming the close friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And when a person gets this link with Allah Ta'ala, now make sure, in order to keep this connection with Allah, aap par har dam fida ho meri ja, ghair ki mushku na parwa chahiye. That, oh Allah, now I want to be every minute of my life, I want to sacrifice my life for you. As our Dada Sheikh teaches us so beautifully, agar dil dena ho, to isi ko de lo, jisne tumhe dil diya. If you want to give your heart to somebody, don't give it to mortals and perishable things of this world who don't know the value of a heart. Allah made the heart, Allah gave you the heart. You give your heart to Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allahu Akbar. Then you won't be concerned of anybody. Anybody's praises or anybody talks bad, it's immaterial to you. And you will realize under all conditions, you won't put your trust on anybody else besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. As we make in our zikr also this dua, غَيْسَ بِالْكُلْهِ اُجَّائِ نَظَرْ تُو هِ تُو آئِ نَظَرْ دَيْكُو جِدَرْ. It, oh Allah, when I make my zikr of La ilaha illallah, let me take out from my heart, غَيْسَ بِالْكُلْهِ اُجَّائِ نَظَرْ. My gazes shouldn't be on anybody besides you. Only you can do my work for me. Nobody else can. What, irrespective of whatever work it is, whether it's work in the government offers or whatever, first we have to turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. It is only in Allah Ta'ala's hands. And how to get this, that Allah Ta'ala will do our work?
Hazrat so beautifully presents that the pious servants of Allah, the more they draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never ever do they feel we are the close servants of Allah. Now Allah will just do our work for us. No, they are begging all the time. Das bakusha janibe zambile ma, mere sar ko tera soda chahe. Oh Allah, this basket I've got of mine, this begging bowl that you have got, that I have got, you have given me my begging bowl, as Allah Ta'ala says, antumul fuqara ilallah. We are all beggars in the court of Allah. So use our begging bowls to beg from Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat is saying that, oh Allah, my begging bowl is spread in front of you, oh Allah. And what do I want? I don't want anything of dunya. I don't want any position. What I want, oh Allah, that please you buy me. I am not worth anything. But like we make in our zikr also, Ghalibi bar jazibai mushtari, shahidar darman dagara wakhari. Allah is that kind brother that we are worth nothing. We are worth filth and dirt. Our nafs is just taking us to haram. But Allah Ta'ala says, I'll buy your nafs. And you just make that little sacrifice of coming close to Allah. So Hazrat is saying that, oh Allah, and this is what Hazrat teaches us, that even when you go to Kaaba Sharif, if you haven't made this dua that, oh Allah, make me yours and you become mine, you haven't made any dua. And if you made every other dua, you haven't really made. If you only made this dua, you made all the duas in the world. Hazrat further explains, after reaching this high position of closeness to Allah Ta'ala, not for a second the pious servants feel we have got a position by Allah. Look how Hazrat addresses himself, for me to learn, all of us, akhtari khasta dur uftadaku. Said, oh Allah, this humble, useless servant of yours, this is, I say, for myself to learn. That Hazrat is saying, we are far from you, O Allah, yet they are so close to Allah. All the time in the close proximity, thinking of Allah Rabbul Izzat, Hazrat is saying, oh Allah, all I want, unki rahmat ka bulawa chahiye. That, oh Allah, your special mercy should engulf me. And like Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, nobody can even enter Jannat without the mercy of Allah. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa Radna asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even you, O Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even me, but Allah has engulfed me in His rahmat already. So we should be begging, that is, we beg Allah Ta'ala to make us His, and Allah becomes ours, but never for a moment think that, no, I am Allah's. We have to be begging for Allah Ta'ala's mercy every split moment, every second. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just to relate a few aspects of our safar which Allah in His kindness granted us to South America. Normally they refer there to it to Latin America, South America, and the conditions there, and what aspects relate to us and what we can benefit from, inshallah. So, firstly, as the whole world today generally, and especially which are openly non-Muslim countries, the freedom of this dunya which is there, and perhaps here it is even more, where all types of freedom far away from deen, and there Muslims also relatively still are few, and unfortunately all most of them don't live like Muslims, so you hardly see as such any Muslims there, and so that whole environment is a complete different environment. The freedom, everyone's thinking, etc. And then the Muslims who are there are also for a long period, and also unfortunately they have also become like the local people, so much so that for many matters, if you tell them anything about deen, the ulama who are there who try to explain to them, they say, no, we have got our culture, and that culture of theirs is that culture of the country. and they give preference to that culture over the ways of Islam also. They feel that that is the way, and that nobody must like interfere with them or stop them from that. That is how the life is generally there. So that whole backdrop, background of that, where there is no real deen, etc. at all, perhaps. Outwardly you don't see any deen, and just all this freedom and for the nafs, to do everything for the nafs, and just as one pleases, one can do. So it is a very, very difficult situation there. But we see the miracle of Allah Ta'ala, how it works. We can't imagine that the work our ulama who are doing, who are there, and what work they are doing, and what a great change in a very small way, but it's a very great change that people of that environment coming towards deen, and they are in deen, etc. So this is really a very, very great achievement. We first went to Venezuela, and there, mashallah, the work is carrying on, this work which they are doing, the ulama, about the makatib, etc., and for about the last 12 years. And in that, the work, very great sacrifices. The ulama, usually they send there, they want them, they must have given 1 year in Jamaat, and then when they get their holidays also, they also go in Jamaat, Pasturat Jamaat. So great sacrifices from this ulama. But we see the fruit Allah is already giving here. And what enjoyment they get, what pleasure they get, how the people's lives change, how they come to deen. And that is their enjoyment, and that is their pleasure. Nothing else. Also, we should keep in mind these ulama, they are, most of them are born and bred here in South Africa, with the life here as we know. And then the families are here, the wife's family is here, they also will find for their parents and that. And all the time they are thinking somebody is passing away, somebody is getting ill, there's a marriage in the family, there's this occasion. Now they are not here, they are far away. And then, yeah, the parents also want their children to be near. So what great sacrifices the parents also are making. And for your grandchildren, the parents who are here, their grandchildren are here, so they also find for them. But mashallah, on these, looks like on these sacrifices, whatever other sacrifices, so many sacrifices they are making, we can see the open help of Allah Ta'ala with them, and how they are working, and what himmat and courage they have got. So, yeah, in Venezuela, the mashallah, they've got their Darul Uloom for the boys and for the girls also. Over this period, they have established it. And it is also only the karam of Allah. Otherwise, a Darul Uloom comes in a place after many, many years. Like here in South Africa, Muslims were about 350 years. If you consider the Cape Muslims, if you consider the Natal and Transvaal Muslims, for about 150 years plus, and then after that, then the Darul Uloom came. And after the maktab work carries on, all that, then you come to that. So there, but mashallah, in a matter of about 10, 12 years, they've got their Darul Uloom. So the ustads, their work, in fact, previously when we were there, the Arabs used to say, we only want South African ulama here. We don't want the Arab ulama. And the reason they give, that the South African ulama do deen's work from Fajr right till the night, till Isha. All the time they are occupied. And they make imamat free of charge. They don't charge. And they get Arab ulama there from the various organizations who send from the various countries. But then they only make imamat. And they want a very good wage. So they say, we only want this kind of ulama that are doing deen's work from the morning, and for imamat they do free of charge. The previous time there was some other organization also of representing the Muslims on a broader scale, but no ulama in those organizations, and it's done in a very lax way, like modern way, etc. They allow almost any and everything to happen in there. And at that time, there was one such meeting of all the countries, or most of the countries of South America, and those people also said they only want ulama from South Africa. Though they are the very lax type and everything sort of goes with them, but they also said that they want ulama from South Africa. So these ulama we see, and only we can marvel at them, and we see the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. From the, in the mornings they teach in the Darul Ulooms, in the afternoons they teach their maktab, and at night they are making mulaqat, kasht, etc. So the whole day is occupied, and they are serving all the time. And not only this, but any other taqaza, like for example there is a janazah, though they are not asked to or anything, but they will go take part in there also. Any other such situation, they go there and they take part in that also. So they are really making great sacrifices. Venezuela, socialist country, so they have lot of restrictions on them from America and the Western countries. So the life is not so easy from a dunya's point of view. Then there is lot of violence also there. Perhaps not as bad as South Africa, but it takes a lot of violence also. And unfortunately, Allah knows best, some of our ulama, was sometimes they were also apprehended, but yet this doesn't deter them at all. They still just carry on and to do this work of deen. One thing that was really very amazing was that whole backdrop, what that culture is. Yeah, we know, many of us, we have problem with our own children. They don't want to listen. They are disobedient. And that environment of the schools or the outside environment, we know what it is. Those who are teaching in madrasas or even in schools, every day perhaps there is a news report. Yeah, in our country, the students have fought, killed one another, this has happened, that has happened, the violence that takes place in the schools also. So there also is similar. But yet, in spite of that, how does Ustad get through to the students? They called us at this time, because they have the annual jalsas, it's towards the end of the year there, and the presentations the students made. So we can see that how the ustads are getting through and what they have to teach them, they are being taught and they are learning. And they are reading, for example, Quran Sharif, what they read, those who were right at the beginning, they read from the Yasarna al-Quran, the others from part 2, and in the part 2, there they put great stress on all the rules of Tajweed. And they read according to the rules of Tajweed. Then the next stage after that is where they now start reading Quran Sharif. That presentation also they had, where the children were reading from Quran and how beautifully and with Tajweed and Makharij perfectly at that young age of theirs, and they were reading confidently and very well. And then those that had started Hifz, they also were reading according to that now, where the Hifz they were reading out of memory and also properly with Tajweed and with all the rules they were reading. So, and this was the boys and the girls also. On the girls' side, the girls also. And sometimes some small girls, they had in the boys' section also. They also are reading. And then, so that how they getting through to them, because the students, they are the very free type. They just if they want to go out of the class, they won't want to take permission also. They just walk out, they walk out. When they want to come, they come. But how they are getting through to them and teaching them is still something which is mind boggling. But mashallah, the results we see with our eyes there, they are getting this result. And then one particular thing, and perhaps that is one aspect that I wish to relate here. Allah give us all tawfiq. How many of us may be doing kitab reading at home, but here the students are taught the sabaks also, and the ustad emphasize it must be done at home also. So the home where they don't, Arabs generally, they can speak Arabic, but they can't read Quran Sharif. Like we have people, like many of us, we'll speak Urdu, a little bit here, there, or we can speak, but we won't be able to read Urdu perhaps, or Gujarati. Many of us will speak Gujarati, but we won't be able to read Gujarati. So like that, the Arabs also, when they are those, and the Quran Sharif Arabic and the other modern Arabic is also different. Many of us, of the students also, who can read in Arab countries, who can read that Arabic, but Quran Arabic, you need, it's a unique, it's one of its own type. So for that training, so when they go home, MashaAllah, they've introduced this in the homes also. And now the interest is growing in the homes. So one thing, what they do, what they have, what they call the Imani Muzakara. They speak on an aspect of Allah's ni'mat. Like for example, water. That water is such a great ni'mat that it quenches our thirst. Water is that with which we make wudu, we take a bath. We throw it for our plants and for our cultivation we use it. What great ni'mats they are in water. How the benefits they are in water. It cools us down. All the great benefits. And then the Imani aspect again, that this water is the creation of Allah. Water itself cannot quench our thirst. Again, they're putting this into the child. That water cannot, if Allah wishes and Allah's command is there, then water quenches our thirst. Otherwise, many times we drink water, but our thirst is not quenched. It is only when it is Allah's hukam. And then the same water, which is so good for us, it can become a flood. And that very same water will cause destruction for us. And when there are floods, there may be a lot of water, but not one drop you have for drinking. That flood water is not suitable for drinking. So all this is in the control of Allah. Then when the Ustad speaks about this, then the students are made into small groups of four or five. And now they must repeat it again. So this is one great thing. When, for example, we come, we listen to bayans. Now we have come for majlis, and I'm speaking, all are listening. There is benefit, alhamdulillah. And in that now, somebody might feel sleepy, falls asleep also. Our mind goes away, etc. But now when you know, you have to repeat it again. So you have to listen with that mind now. So the interest is there. And when a person speaks himself, then there is much more benefit. When a person, for example, you speak about namaz, you give up miswak sunnat miswak, and the benefits of it. If you make miswak and you make namaz, more worthy than 70 namazes. So more better, the virtues are more. So we have heard it. Now when you say it yourself, it dawns more on you. So to come to amal is much more easier. When you yourself are convinced, that is when you come on amal, yet yaqeen. And just when you speak about it, then it comes into a person. So they are very, very strongly, not only advised, it's their duty, the children, when they go home, they must go and speak to this to their parents. And parents love their children, parents want to make their children happy, so when they go and speak about this, they get the parents involved. And when they get the parents involved, that environment at home starts changing. And it was really very, very surprising and shocking that at the one place there was a jalsa amongst the Syrian Arabs most probably. The imams are Egyptians. Now normally Allah make me maaf, perhaps all of us, our mind think he's an Egyptian imam, so he's like a very free thinker, a very easy going, and what we think of what a sheikh has to be like, and they are like very free. So anyway, he was the imam, and after that when we had this muzakara, this discussion, and he also contributed, and properly he contributed. I was surprised. I asked him, my son comes, his son a young boy about 9-10 years, and he has got the sheikh so much involved, the sheikh's wife so much involved, that the sheikh is proudly, happily saying, I myself personally go and drop him off at madrasa every day. And I make sure he doesn't miss one day's madrasa. So through the child, the father who is a sheikh, who is the imam of the masjid, he also is fully involved in it. So he also speaks about this all the time. So like this, they're getting through to the family, and through that, the family's conditions are changing. This is really something which is we also have to think of. So as I said, if we have our kitab reading at home, hopefully we have, then don't only read the kitab, but after that, ask each one to repeat again. So when they know they have to repeat, so everyone is, otherwise children are playful. You are reading kitab, they playing with this, they playing with that, they with one another, they are poking one another, laughing with one another. Children are like that. But now when they know they will have to repeat it again, then it's going to, they're going to listen more better. And then again, when they're going to talk about it, that conviction is going to come more in them. And then just continuously they are doing. It's a major part. So it's really coming into them all the time. So much so, on one occasion, in one place there's a person who's mentally disturbed. So when he comes, then the children are frightened for him. So the little children said, they are taught that read where any, that whatever we need, we will ask nobody for it. We will only ask Allah. And then they are asked to make the zikr in this way, that you are thinking of it, La ilaha illallah, that nobody can fulfill my needs besides Allah. The little children, La ilaha illallah, and they're thinking like this. So one day when this person was mentally disturbed, he was coming and they got frightened. So they said, let us read now. La ilaha, that he can't harm us. He won't be able to do us anything. Allah is our protector. Allah will protect us. And when they saw that Allah protected them, the yaqeen grew even more. So mashallah, it's a place like that, with that background which is there. And this type of children are being produced. And with this yaqeen they are being produced. And the children are the main ones now changing the family also. And so it's a real thing for us to think about, and not to just take things for granted, but to appreciate and to try and bring this into us. Otherwise, we as grown-ups also, how much of that yaqeen have we got within us also? One of the main things, in fact, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he spoke to the ulama of the world in Makkah Sharif, when he started his work, and then he asked them that what is the problem of the ummah? And he showed it to them that our weakness is in our yaqeen, that we haven't got that yaqeen. And here they are instilling that yaqeen right at the roots with the little children. So mashallah. So this is something if we can also bring within us, that we make our children also speak. We have that little ta'aleem, we make them also speak. So, and there are various other aspects also which they have got, and all this is proving very, very beneficial. Then in Venezuela, for example, where the main jalsa was, where 11 girls had completed Mishkat Sharif. Now again, just think of that background, where there was like nothing, and there 11 girls have completed Mishkat Sharif. What an achievement. 6 boys completed Hijj, and of these, a few months ago, Allah knows His work and His planning, there was an accident, and 3 of the boys had passed away in the accident, became shaheed. And in fact, so much so, what this is, only Allah knows. When the boys were passing away, they videoed it. And that little boy, while he's passing away, he's not letting them take his video. He's putting his hand in front. And he's reading kalima, and they can hear the kalima he's reading. Small boys. So imagine there, what of Allah's rahmat is coming down, and how. And then of course the parents were there for the jalsa also, and how they said it was for them. But yet they know it's Allah's command, they accept it. But we are humans, and it's natural that we feel sad. Even Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam felt sad when his child Ibrahim had passed away, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is a natural thing. But mashallah, how they enjoy it and how they are going through. then most probably it is in Argentina, I think. After a year we were finished with Venezuela, we went to Argentina. And most probably it was here that this work they are doing, and many, and our women there also, everywhere they go with their parda. And this causes almost everywhere the people to ask. Very, very much they ask, why are you wearing this? What is this all about? Then they give them the dawah of Islam. And they are very receptive. And for the man, one main thing they encourage the man, wherever you go, wear your topi. So they're going to ask you, why are you wearing a topi? And then you give the dawah of Islam. So yeah, in one place, 11 women who accepted Islam reverse. They accepted Islam, they learn deen, and they learn this method of theirs, how they are teaching deen. And they are now muallimas. They are teaching there now. And in fact, one lady, she's the wife of maybe a sheikh also, not so short, for a prominent person, and she graduated from Azhar. And after graduating from Azhar, she also, all death studies were one side. She came into this system of theirs, and she has accepted it also, and with passion and with feeling she teaches also. And she makes sure she doesn't miss 1 minute of her teaching time. And she's so passionate about it. So in that background and that world and all this great work is carrying on, it was really an eye-opener for us, a very great inspiration for us, that all this great good work is taking place there. And then our ulama, it's only the help of Allah. When they speak, the whole of South America is Spanish, besides Brazil that has got Portuguese. But our ulama who went, and in a few, in a short while, they speak Spanish like it was their mother tongue. Like, and in fact, so much so, Maulana Sulaiman Jada, who is also there, he has translated whole of Fadail-e Amal into Spanish. So how good must his grammar be to translate from Fadail-e Amal? One is you just learn a language, you're not worried of the grammar. And one is you just hold a conversation, you go and buy something, you go somewhere, something. One is to give a bayan. In fact, the one alim told that he asked him that how you people picked it up. He says, I myself, I learned and I could speak just to get my way around. And where I used to give bayan, every week they should have translation. One week it happened such, there was no translator. So I told the people that today I will give a bayan in English. So they said, no, they insisted. So how he could, he spoke. And Allah opened it for him. Since then now he's speaking, and he's speaking fluently. And he speaks very fluently. And not only Spanish, but even Arabic. Almost all the ulama there are so fluent in their Arabic. And good, good Arabic they speak, and they are very fluent in it. It is Allah's help. They want to serve the ummah, and they are doing their little effort, Allah help. Otherwise to learn a foreign language. And then Arabic, alhamdulillah, many of the wives are alimas, so we can understand, they know Arabic, you need little practice to speak and that. But they speak very, very fluently. And without any, in English we still doubt here and there. But they, whether it's Spanish, Portuguese, Arabic, they just, it just flows all the time. So this one person, his wife is not an alima. When she wanted to become an alima, Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in those days, he discouraged, and the father was very much connected with Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib. So she just did some elementary courses there, and there wasn't any much Arabic. But she's also, you can say, a master in Arabic. In the lady, she speaks also very fluently. So this is only the help of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, we all know that these things are not easy. So mashallah, they are doing great, great work, and we must make lot of du'as also, that Allah takes it further and further, and there is a great demand all the time. I was just a visitor there, and at the Jalsas, on 2 occasions, Arabs came and they said, please, you must put it in the mashura. In our town, we also want a madrasa there. Everywhere they are asking. The Arabs are asking for madrasas there. And every town, they want their little maktabs, the madrasa, the maktab, because they're seeing the great, great benefit that they are getting. So, Allah Ta'ala, let us understand and let us take advantage. And this year, in our homes and with our children, if we can do this, let them speak about, and let them speak about the qudrat of Allah, the love of Allah, the sunnahs of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Perhaps it won't be so easy at the beginning, but let's go into it and try and get them to speak about it. For our children to speak about cricket, they speak 1 hour. Small little boys. To speak about anything else, they speak so much. And yeah, only for 1 minute, they say. And then you get surprised in that 1 minute, when we are not used to it, we run short of subject matter for a minute also. But as you speak and it carries on, one child says it, the next child, 4 or 5 in that group. So once the ustad has taught it, or at home the parents teach it, then they heard. 4 or 5 repeat it, how much more? And all the time they repeat it, and then again with this in mind, that they must not only speak about it, but that conviction must come into us. So if Allah Ta'ala makes it, and one thought came to my mind, in fact I asked them also, that for about 10 years you people are doing this. So when you started, there must have been a child of 10, 15 years old. Today he's 20, 25. Now he's no more with you people. He's now gone married. He's gone, perhaps he went to school, he went to varsity also perhaps. How is his condition today, after this period? I was very surprised. They say they will still keep very good contact with us. And they have great respect for us. And that is with them still, all that. And one thing is a definite thing, that even if they go out of line, Allah forbid, and they go university, they go into a different line. But this in their childhood, when they were 5 and 6, what they repeated, and when they on the jalsa, we know children, they do it with great enthusiasm and passion, it will definitely hit back again. And it will come back into their lives again. They will remember that qudrat of Allah. They will remember the tawheed of Allah. All this will come back, the sunnahs of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Then here in Portugal, here also, and the Arabs there are very, very wealthy also. And they have got a lot of say also in the governments, etc. But because they give so much preference to that way of life. The one alim was saying, there was a janaza, so he also went. And he says that, what I made out, that they did not know at all how to make janaza namaz. The grown-ups, they have got no knowledge of deen. One other fasati of ours, he went in Jamaat, and he says that he met one brother, that person's yaqeen is so strong, that he says that whatever happens, I will never leave my Islam. I can, what they can do, what they want to, but my Islam, I will never leave. But the same person doesn't know wuzu. As far as knowledge of deen, they haven't got, but their yaqeen. He says, I felt so guilty. He says, I'm in Jamaat here, but that yaqeen, that no matter what happens, I'll die as a Muslim. But then, the knowledge of deen, so there is a great, great demand. And mashallah, the taqazas, the venues are just multiplying all the time. So our children also, if we can train them, and they also go there, and they also make this effort, and from there, if it can be brought back to South Africa also, if it can be done in other parts of the world also, and we promote this, inshallah, there will be a lot of goodness for us and for the whole ummah, inshallah. Allah give us all tawfiq and let us appreciate this work and see what is happening. And when we go out like this, really we understand that we are the sacrifices the ulama are making. We realize we are still nowhere. And then again, they have a very good relationship with the local people. You can just see it, how much the people appreciate and look up to them and have great respect for them, for their, because they are sacrificing for nothing else but for their deen. In fact, when once long ago, there was an ijtima in Venezuela, and Pa Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was also there. And it was his bayan fixed to speak in the old workers, which is a very important bayan. But when he was sitting with these ulama, and he understood from them, they have come here with no maqsad of earning money, nothing of dunya, and nothing getting married there, not allowed to do any business there, nothing, only for deen's sake. He didn't go and speak in the old workers. He said, these people who have made this hijrah, only for the sake of deen, I will sit with these people. Yeah. So this hijrat, and when they have made this hijrat for the pleasure of Allah, only for the sake of deen, for nothing else, then Allah makes everything easy. Really, it is big sacrifice, but they are always smiling, they are always happy. Everything is there. Allah keeps them happy also. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.